Number 37, Jeremiah chapter number 37, and Sister Dixie has already asked me, no, I don't know when the ordination date is set. Pastor said we're going to get it done before 60 days is out, so I don't know. I don't think that's biblical terms. I think that's just, hey, let's just get this over with. So we will let the pastor know when that is set. You'll get a letter. You can vote not to come, I guess, but last time I checked, the pastor did say that I'm the best assistant pastor he's ever had, and I told him, I said, this is the only church that I've ever came and helped out that I've had to file a 1098 for, and that is always a blessing to be here. You know I love you, and you guys have just always been wonderful and caring to me and shown love to me and Christy, and I know she couldn't be here. Landon's not feeling too well this evening. But Jeremiah chapter number 37, I want to go ahead and give you my title. And this title kind of fell just in thought, really. God had just really worked on this title even before really I knew what he wanted me to preach on. And the title is, It's No Secret. And I told that to Christy today, and she said, what? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, it's no secret. What? I said, you know, that's the thing, is that's what I'm preaching on. It's no secret. And we hear that a lot, don't we? It's no secret. It's no secret that tonight we are having church, that God has blessed Victory Independent Baptist Church to have another Wednesday night service. It's no secret that I am so thankful to be here. If we can go on and go on and go on with that, but it is no secret that I've had you turn to Jeremiah chapter 37, because the king here, Zedekiah, wanted to meet with Jeremiah in secret. But you'll find out that what he tells him has been no secret. He's been announcing this throughout the book. If you'd stand with me just for a moment, we're going to start in the 16th verse. I'll give you a little bit of back context for it, and then we'll get into the message. We see here in verse 16, when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, Jeremiah had remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, what have I offended against thee or against thy servants or against this people that ye have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you nor against this land? Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord, the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Father, thank you for this day. What a blessing it is to once again be here. God, how good you are to us, and how thankful we are to just to be able to gather together. Lord, I pray that, Father, you would touch this message, that you would touch the stammering tongue, that, Lord, you would remove me of self. Lord God, clean me up. Use me, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the ability, Lord God, just to be able to take one more breath that I can be able to praise you. Now, Lord, please touch this church. Be with the pastor as he is away. Lord God, lead us and guide us as it be your will, in your son's sweet and heavenly name. And amen. You may be seated. Now, you will understand here in the 16th verse, we find out that Jeremiah is in prison. Now, let me tell you this. Jeremiah is wrongfully in prison. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. We see at the beginning of this chapter, and it says, and King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. But we want to see this. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehoiakim, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Isn't it amazing how the world wants God to do something for them, but they don't want to do anything for God? They don't want to listen to God. Hey, they want all the blessings, but they don't want any of the work. It's amazing, and it's actually unfortunate how in today's society that they will look towards God for certain things, but they don't believe that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They want all the good things to happen, but hey, they're not worried about the bad things. Just today, it's amazing that you'll read in today's paper or whatnot how religious leaders and religious sects—they're all about the abominations of this world, but yet they still claim and profess that they are followers of Jesus Christ. It's no secret that that's false. Amen. But we see here that it's the exact same thing. What I'm preaching on, Brother Eric, is nothing new. It's nothing new. It's the same thing that no doubt your pastor has preached on, my pastor has preached on and so forth. They all want their own ways. They all want things to happen for them. But we see here that as Zedekiah now has brought Jeremiah out of the prison, he's asked him a question. Now, the amazing thing is this, is that it's not the first time he's asked him this question. It's not the first time he sent someone to inquire of him to the Lord. In fact, in Jeremiah 21, verses 1 through 6, it says this, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when King Zedekiah sent unto him, Pashur the son of Amalekiah, and Zephaniah the son of Amasiah, the priest, saying, Inquire, I pray, of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the king will deal with us according to all the wondrous works that he may go up from us. Then said Jeremiah unto them, Thus shall you say to Zedekiah." Now, I say this to say again, it hadn't changed. Everything that was going to come to happen is going to happen. Everything that God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. So first of all, I want you to understand this, that it's no secret that God's way is the only way. I'll say it again. God's way is the only way. Everybody's looking for a different way, aren't they? Everybody's looking for a different path to heaven. Everybody's looking for a different path to happiness. Everybody's looking for a different path to just being able to make it another day, one more time, one more minute. Everybody's looking for a different way when we know that He is the only way. We understand that He is the way, the truth, and the life. We understand that in Acts 4:12 it says, "Neither is there salvation, or there's no salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Hey, if that's how it worked 2,000 years ago, it should have worked several hundred years before that, and that's how it's working in 2022. God's way is the only way. Hey, it's the real way. It's the original way. Turn with me real quick to Jeremiah chapter number 6. And just look at verses 16 real quick. I'm going to give you a few moments because I want you to read this with me verbatim. Jeremiah, I have it written down, but I want to take my time just for a moment. I don't have a very long message, amen? No? Okay. We'll be here just for a little while longer, 8:39, something like that. But we see in Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse 16, in a very familiar scripture, no doubt the pastor has preached on it, no doubt you've done a devotion on it. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye of the ways, and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein." Churches today are saying, "We will not walk therein." Christians today are falling away. They're going about the way of the world. They're more worried about what's going on Fox News than what's going on at the church. Now, I think we need to be educated. We need to understand what's going on in the world. But more people are worried about what's going on with the craziness than what Christ is saying. Amen? Hey, He already told us what's going to happen. We have 66 books that have described and that we must understand what's going to happen. And then we sit there and we think, oh, I can't believe that's happening. His word has already told us. So when we see that God's way is the only way, I believe that His way is the only way. But it's amazing when you hear this. Well, today's generation is just looking for a different way. Listen to me. I want to tell you something right now. 50 years ago, that day's generation was looking for something different. 60, 70 years ago, that generation was looking for something different. But brother, hey, there were Christians, men and women of God, who were saying, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to look towards Jesus. Hey, some of them, hey, here's the thing, is that we've got pastors going the wrong way. All right, it's amazing that how just blindsided you get on certain things. They keep talking about the pastor up north. The certain organizations, they're releasing pastors' names that have criminal records, and they're just blasting it all over the place. But here's the thing: I want to follow what God tells me to do. Now, I'm a big fan of your pastor. I love your pastor. He's a good man. And I believe that he follows what God tells him to do. But we all mess up, don't we? We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But hey, when we get off the way, what a blessing is it that he's there to put us back on his way. And he puts us back on his path. So when I say that God's way is the only way, I truly mean it. So we see that it's no secret that God's way is the only way. We see the direction that God has set, and it's still the direction that he wants us on. For I am the Lord, and I change not. He hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't had a new way of doing things. He's still the only way. Where in no way you might be saved. Hey, here's the thing. Me telling you that Landon didn't baptize doesn't get him to heaven. My baptism didn't get me to heaven. There's a lot of dry sinners going down wet. They're coming up wet. You know what I mean? More worried about going through the motion, going through the moves, making a spectacle, rituals as it were. When we see here, I just read it in Acts 4:12. Look at it. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's no secret. God's way is the only way. Now I want you to turn back with me to Jeremiah 37 because there's two words that I want you to look at with me real quick. And it's in verse 17. Verse 17. Now remember this. I told you that that Zedekiah had went to Jeremiah. Now he had sent men. He had sent Zephaniah. He had sent the other Pashur. Because remember, in chapter 19, the other Pashur, he smote Jeremiah. Now, this is a different one. Their fathers are different. But we see here that now Zedekiah has said, bring him to me. I want to ask him something. We see this meeting. It's a threefold meeting right here. I even wrote it down. I'm going to read it to you real quick. This meeting is a solemn meeting. Hey, when you come before anybody of an authority, you know that person of authority and no doubt has some sort of, I guess you would say, reputation. He's dignified, refined, if you would say. Now, I'm from Indiana. I'm a Hoosier. We say things wrong. I say motorcycle, not motorcycle. But it's not a bicycle, is it? It's a bicycle. Just think about that for a second. But what I'm trying to tell you this is that there are some times when I have, I guess you would say, not the right words. I had to think about it for a second. But it was a solemn meeting. No doubt it was. He was brought before the king and he may have had to bow. He may have had to kiss the ring. I don't know. But it was set up for a solemn meeting. There was nothing exciting about it. But not only was it a solemn meeting, but it was a serious meeting. Hey, here's the thing. If the king sends for you, he's not wanting to know how the game was last night. He sent you for a reason. No doubt there's a certain circumstance why he needs you. And if he's calling for you, and you've been given the I guess you would say, position of prophet. No doubt he's going to ask you what God says. Hey, as Christians, the lost will ask you, what does God say? Go back to Acts 4:12. Tell them about Jesus. Now, I want you to understand that when he went to Zedekiah, we understand that it was a secret meeting. It was a secret meeting. Now, when Jeremiah answered, what he told him was no secret. I want you to look really quick with me. In verse 17, it says, "Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, 'Is there any word from the Lord?'" King, let me tell you something. At the beginning of this chapter, you asked me to pray for you. You asked me to inquire of the Lord for you. Now here's what happened. God told me exactly what's going to happen, and it came to fruition. And then I got falsely accused of being with the Chaldeans and got thrown in prison. And you're going to come to me and you're going to ask me the exact same thing. Well, here, I'm going to tell you the same thing that I've been saying for the last 37 chapters, all right? It says this. In verse 17, he said two words, "There is." Look, he says, and Jeremiah said, and Zedekiah said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is." It's the same thing I've been, now I'm taking a little liberty right now. I'm not adding to or taking away, don't worry. But if somebody came to you and asked you the same thing over and over and over again. Now Jeremiah did this with respect. He did this with adoration. Hey, he respected the title, as it were. But this is the third time in just a few chapters that Zedekiah has sent someone, or he has now been brought and secretly asked, "Did God tell you anything? Is there any word from the Lord?" And he said, "There is. For said he, 'Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon.' Moreover, Jeremiah said unto the king Zedekiah, 'What have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people that ye put me in prison?'" Now, I want you to go back just a little bit. He said this, "For he said, 'Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon.'" Jeremiah did something here that all of us should be very, very aware of. He did not sugarcoat it. He didn't wring his hands and say, "Well, King, Lord, Zedekiah, your majesty." He didn't stammer. He said, "There is." "Brother David, is there anything that you can tell me about Jesus?" "There is." "Is there anything that you can tell me that maybe will help me find a way to get to heaven?" "There is." Now, it's amazing that sometimes they'll come to you secretly. Hey, you know why a lost person acts lost? Amen. Because they are lost. But you know what the amazing thing is? A lost person doesn't know they're lost until they realize they're lost. We expect the lost to act a certain way, but guess what? They're lost. They're not going to come up to you in a three-piece suit and say, "Brother, let me ask you a question. How do I get saved? I have a broken heart and a contrite spirit." Perhaps they're going through something and they don't want anybody else to know. Hey, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, right? One might say, "Hey, that's just for Christians." Oh, no, 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 no. We should take that burden, that lost person's burden, and we should pray for them.
Yes.
I believe in conviction, don't you?
Yes.
Lord, convict them. Lord, take away their sleep. Lord, let them understand. Let them see that without you, there is no hope. There is no way. Lord, I'm not going to do this secretly. Or perhaps you might. I've had many times when people would come up to you and say, "Can we keep this just between you and me? Would you pray for me?" And then the thought comes to mind, well, I can't keep it just between you and me if I got to pray for you, because I got one that I got to bring it to. But don't worry, he knows all about it already. You see, Zedekiah, no doubt he was a man of position. He was a man of power. He was a prominent man. And he knew that things were getting worse because, hey, he knew the bread was running out. If you go a little bit lower, he said, hey, feed him until the bread runs out. It's getting bad out there. He went to him secretly, though. Could you imagine that if he brought Jeremiah before the people and he stood there face to face with him in front of all the people and said, Jeremiah, tell me what the Lord has brought before you. They could have repented, or they could have revolted. We don't know. But there was not an option given. He came to him secretly, and you know what he did? He told him the truth. He said this. He said, hey, it's no secret. I'm not telling you anything different. There is something that God has told me. I want you to look also. Not only is God's way the only way, but it's no secret. God's word stands sure. Several times in this passage alone, in this book alone, in this one book, I believe there's 52 chapters. He talks about what God will do. Hey, in chapter number 19, he got smote on the face because he told people, hey, this is what God's going to do. He got put in prison because, hey, this is what God is going to do. But yet we have those who are proclaiming some sort of religion, living up in their high towers, not caring what God is going to do. So we see that it is no secret that God's word stands sure. Now I want you to look at that word, and this is my word that I use, sure. You see, when Jeremiah said there is, he didn't say, hey, there's a little bit of a change though. Don't worry about it. He didn't say, hey, you know what? He did give me something, but I'm going to give it to you in layman's terms. You know, he said there is. And he told him exactly what God had told him to say. You know why? Because God's word is sure. And when I say that word right there, it means certain. It means that there is no doubt what I'm telling you is going to happen, it's going to happen. So when I tell you that God's word is sure, that means God's word is true. God's word is real. We understand here in Psalm 19, look, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Matthew 24:35 says this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, when I looked at it real quick, it says the testimony of the Lord. Hey, I love to tell people my testimony. But I got 66 books right here. And it has stood. And it still stands. And it will stand forevermore. I don't care about the other versions. I'm going to take liberty. They're garbage. I'll take liberty on it right now. They are. This right here is God's word. It's infallible. It's inherent. It's perfect. It's mine. I can go to it whenever I want. Brother David, when I'm getting worried about finances, when I'm getting worried about, look, I've been married 11 years, amen. She has put up with me for 11 years. She still loves me. But I, like I said, sometimes I know I drive her crazy. She told me one time, she goes, you need to stop saying that because people are going to think that I don't like you. And I said, honey, there is no way that you would put up with me this long if you didn't like me. And they know it. But hey, sometimes you got to go into the book. And I'm not just talking about wives submit unto your husband. That's not what I'm just talking about. But husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Amen.
how to raise our children.
When Zedekiah asked and said, is there any word from the Lord? Hey, there is. So we see that it is no secret that God's word stands sure. That God's way is the only way. But I could not end this message without maybe just a little bit of an upliftment. Amen. And this wasn't just from me, but this is an encouragement. Because we see here in this book of 52 chapters that God's way is the only way. That God's word stands sure. But that God's people, hey, this is no secret. I've read the back of the book, and guess what? We win. But it's no secret that God's people will prevail. I want you to understand of the things that these men in this Bible have went through. I have never, ever, 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 ever faced what they have went through. Sure, I've been called some things here and there. I remember when I had just gotten saved, a friend of mine's mom said, don't you be bringing that Jesus stuff into my house. And I greatly cleaned that up. And I thought to myself, well, maybe there's something wrong with her. I didn't know. I had just gotten saved. She was lost. But I thought to myself, okay, well, I'll just leave you alone then. Told me, it won't last. Don't worry. It's lasted. But what I'm trying to say is this, is that you got chapter 38 through 40, and we see changes happening. We see Jeremiah is set free in chapter 40. But we see also by 52, the captives are carried away. Guess what? We knew it was going to happen. But thankfully, I know exactly what's going to happen after that 70 years of captivity. Amen. I know what's going to happen after that 200 years of silence. I know what's going to happen after my Lord and Savior is born in a manger of a virgin. Amen. I know what happens after the 33 years of him walking the face of this earth. I know what happens after the crucifixion. I know what happens after he's put in the tomb and after he rises from the dead. I know what happens after he ascends. And I know what happens all the way up until he comes back for us. And I know what's going to happen after that. And I know what's going to happen when we come back. And I could go on and on because guess what? We have been given the descriptive, I guess you would say, the descriptive instruction of what's going to happen. And yet we worry about tomorrow. Take no thought of tomorrow. Now let's be sensible about tomorrow. Wait a minute. I mean, he can come back at any time, I believe that. But we may be here tomorrow. And if we are, let's be smart about things. But let's also remember this, is that we are children of the living God. And that we will prevail. And that we will get out of this. I'm ready to go home, aren't you? Listen, I look at this real quick, and I see just one more thing. When I talk about God's people prevailing, it's unfortunate and it's sad that in these troubling times, Christians forget that we have been given a promise. And they start to worry about things. And I'm thankful, hey, every time I'm here, I always see, well, pretty much all of you here. And that's encouraging to me. But what they don't realize is that in this time, to prevail, we must prepare. We must prepare. And how do we prepare? We assemble. And how do we assemble? Well, we come to church. Because all too often, all too many times, you'll hear this. Don't need to go to church. I never want to feel like that. I had gotten to preach a message last week, and I'm about done. And I got to preach on this message, why I need the church. And how I said this was, I meant I, not why we, why I. And I went on to say that I need the church. And as you need the church, I want you to think about me. That personal salvation. And I looked at it this is that we don't necessarily need the four walls. But I am extremely, extremely spoiled. And you hear about the dirt floors and the potbelly stove and all that stuff. And I said this verbatim. I thank God for air conditioning and furnace gas heat. Amen. Because I do not want to stand out behind the tree going to church. I don't want to stand beside some river breaking the ice to get baptized. I'm spoiled. I want to keep this right here. But how thankful are we that we have been given a promise that we will prevail? That we know that God's way is the only way. That His word stands sure. So we must rejoice. We must praise Him. Because if we don't, we're acting secretly. We weren't told to praise the Lord secretly. We can go and pray secretly. We can go into our closets. But why don't we rejoice and be glad that we're just given one more opportunity to gather together? I'm done.